Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Hallelujah. Just aware in my heart this morning, you can be seated. I'm just aware that there's somebody here that is really facing a complex problem. You're working on it. You're trying to work it out in your own mind. And you're seeking the Lord, and I feel like the Lord is saying that He has the solution. You don't have the solution. You don't see what the answer is. But just because you don't see what the answer is doesn't mean there isn't an answer. And I feel like there are some things hidden, and that just because it's hidden doesn't mean you should give up. Don't pitch something and say, well, I guess that's not going to work because I don't know how it's going to work. Instead, hold on in faith and believe that God is big enough to make everything work together for good. And I just feel like God is pleased with you. He wants to say to you that because you're asking Him and talking to Him, that He is going to answer you. He's going to be faithful to you concerning the question that you're asking. For the Lord, the word of the Lord says that if you call unto me, if you seek God, you will find Him. And I just want to pray that the trouble and the difficulty and the problem that has produced such a need for an answer for you, that that would begin to come into your life today. Because that's really where our lives change, is when we shift our focus from impossible, it's impossible, to then begin to say, no, it's possible with God. So Lord, we just come to you right now in this house of prayer, and we lift up every person in this room, God, that is facing a problem. Maybe it's in a marriage situation or a business thing or something real that God needs to shift and change. And I pray, Lord, that your heavenly solution will just become to manifest, Lord God, into our lives, Lord. I pray that we won't give up on the things that we shouldn't give up on. And I pray that we wouldn't lose hope, Lord, when we don't see the answer. But instead, through the eyes of faith, we could acknowledge that even though we don't see it, God sees it. And we trust that He is able. Lord, I pray for a deep peace and a deep rest to be up on every one of our hearts, Lord, as we give the problem to you. May you bring your solution and your answer in Jesus' name. And everyone that needed that, say amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning, would you please? Thank Him for answering your prayers.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
We're going to get right into the message this morning. You may have found a piece of paper right next to you that looks like this. This is our teaching outline. We provide these every Sunday because we feel like we want to resource you in your spiritual growth. These are the scriptures and thoughts that will remain clear to you as you hold on to these. You can fill these out as we go. And if you're joining us in the cafe, we're glad you're here. Right about now, the cafe is calming down and it's becoming an extension of the auditorium. People like to listen to the message in there. So we're changing the set in the cafe, there in the family lounge, wherever you're listening to us online, joining us from all over the world, we welcome you. I've been really blessed by the positive reports of what's happening with Soul Detox. We've been in this series now for about 2.5 weeks going through this, and a little over more than halfway through, and our groups are getting blessed, and people are talking through the materials and listening to the messages, and they're getting their souls detoxed. And I wanted us, if we could, just to say thank you to Pastor John Headley, who really put this whole month together, organized all the groups with Pastor Brad and Kathy. Thank you guys for working hard on that. This has been a winner. You know, about 450 people going through this in small groups alone, not counting the children's groups and all of that. So hundreds of people being soul detoxing. Something we've been saying from the beginning in this series is very important for us, and I'm going to repeat it right now, and that is this, that we are not a body with a soul, we are a soul with a body. Would you say that with me? We are not a body with a soul, we are a soul with a body. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that there's a priority in our lives. That there are two ways that we experience life. We experience life through our bodies. We hug and we eat and we sleep and We go to sports games, and that's all physical. But then the other way that we experience life is through our soul. And the soul, the inside part of us, the unseen part of us, is where we experience God so strongly and deeply. In fact, our soul was created by God to live longer than our bodies. Our bodies eventually are going to give out. We're all going to die. I don't want to pop any balloons here today if you think you're never going to die. But we are all going to die. Our body is going to decay at some point in the future, but our spirit will continue to live. Our soul is eternal. So anything that we do to invest in our spiritual life is really, really important. Anything that we do to cleanse ourselves and build ourselves up in our soul, well, that is very important. So in our church, we've been going over the last few weeks over topics like dealing with the restless soul and dealing with the heavy soul. We looked at those. We found some answers, and those things are freeing. We're getting free from those areas of restlessness and heaviness. Next Sunday, I'm going to finish this series by talking to us about the seduced soul. You know that your soul can be tricked. Your soul can be deceived. You can believe something that's not true and end up touching something that God says not to touch because you talk yourself into it and you say, well, it's okay. I can. And there's a seduction that comes to our soul. And we're going to talk about that. And I really ask the intercessors to be praying because the last thing I want to do is just give another message that kind of that hits a wall somehow. I really want our souls to be powerfully freed from every seduction, whatever it may be. But this morning, I want to talk about cleansing the tortured soul. I want to look at that word torture as a word that speaks about pain and sorrow and how we can be cleansed and released from something called the tortured soul. I want to start with a story. It's a story that took place on the night that Jesus was to be crucified. The Lord Jesus had 12 followers, disciples, that were his closest friends. He was mentoring them, pouring into them, teaching them, and training them. It was Passover at this time, and they were in the holy city of Jerusalem. They had come for the Passover feast. It was probably about 7 or 8 o'clock at night. They were in a rented upper room where all across the city, pilgrims had gathered to celebrate this traditional Passover feast, and Jesus and his followers were doing the same. The meal had ended, and the usual practice in that kind of a setting was someone would take on the role of a servant. Either there was a hired servant or someone present would do this, and they would bring a basin of water and a towel, and because they ate with their fingers, there would be, you know, a need to wash their hands at the end of the meal and then proceed with the rest of the evening. And so in this case, it wasn't a hired servant. In this case, what happened was so shocking that it literally left all the disciples of Jesus totally speechless. Jesus took that bowl of water. He took the towel. He tied it around his waist. And instead of addressing dirty hands, he went to the most embarrassing and dirty part of their anatomy, and that was their feet, where they had been in the dirt and whatever had piled up in the walkways of Jerusalem during that feast. He got down and he started to wash them one by one, moving from one to the other. And I mean, the disciples were stunned at this. This is their master. This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah, their King. And he's on his knees in that dirt and filth, addressing the soil that is on their feet. And we have no record of anyone speaking about it. We can only assume they were just blown and shocked by it. But then when Jesus got to Peter, that's when he said, Lord, this isn't going to happen. This isn't appropriate. You're not going to wash my feet. You will never wash my feet. And that's when Jesus gave Peter an ultimatum. And Jesus said to Peter, unless I cleanse you, you can have nothing to do with me. Well, that changed everything. That was a game changer. Peter decided to rethink his position. He's not gonna let Jesus wash his feet. He changed his position immediately. He said, "Well, Lord, if that's so, then don't only wash my feet, but wash my hands and my head and wash me from head to toe, because I love you and I want to have something to do with you." I tell you that story because I believe that it became a key moment in Peter's future. That wasn't something that happened. It was something that needed to happen. It was something that became a picture for Peter. And as we'll see, we'll come back to the story of Peter. Peter would know what a tortured soul is. Peter was a man who understood failure, who understood deep regret and sorrow. And so he provides us, Peter, this man who said that to Jesus, provides us with this text. It says in 1 Peter 2:11, "Dear friends, keep away from worldly desires," which, now read this last part with me, "which wage," what? "War against your," "war against your very soul." Now Peter is talking from his experience and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's talking to us about our souls, and he is saying there is a condition of soul that is embattled, tortured, attacked. I don't know if you've ever experienced warfare against your soul. When you struggle with your soul, when it's not just you, but something is coming against your mind, it's coming against your emotional life, your inside life, the eternal you. Something is attacking it. There's a battle going on in your soul. And Peter is writing about that experience, and he says, don't open the door to sin. Don't connect with things that are wrong, that are lustful, that are worldly, because when you do that, you're opening a door to a battle that wants to come in against your soul. That's our text. And Peter is the author of that. And I think that's going to get a little bit clearer as we go on why that's so powerful. We're going to come back to Peter. But I want to ask a question of every one of us this morning. What is it that tortures our souls? What is it that launches a battle against the inside of us? And I spend a lot of time working with people, and all of our pastors and leaders do. We're a very loving, connecting kind of a church. We help people, spirit, soul, and body. And I've found that there are at least three things that really cause torture in the human soul. First is that we're tortured by the things that we've done. That hurts so much when we've done the wrong things. Like Peter said, abstain from those kinds of sins, because that's what opens the door to bring a battle into your soul. Peter's an example of this, and we'll talk about him, but David had already said 1,000 years before. He wrote these words, "My health is broken because of my sins. My guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear." He's talking about the torture that comes about because of the things that he had done. He was wrestling with guilt. He wasn't okay with his physical health. How many of you know that when your soul is suffering, it will affect your body? You're going to start talking about sleeplessness and high blood pressure and pains and tension and all those things. Doctors will tell you that 90% of what people experience in their bodies starts in their soul, starts in their mind and on the insides. And so he says, even my body is being affected by this open door and this guilt that I feel in my spirit. I want to take a minute and explain something very important, that sin opens a door in our soul. Maybe just jot this down. Sin opens a door in our soul, and it grants access to shame. This is why God says, don't open that door. Don't connect with sin, because what you're doing, you're inviting that battle into your soul. You will then be plagued with guilt and torment and all kinds of things that our God, who loves us, does not want us to experience these things. It's not that God doesn't want you to experience the fun of sin. He doesn't want you to experience the fallout of sin that becomes like a battle that is released on the inside of you that won't let you sleep and won't let you rest. Sin opens a door in our soul, and what comes in is so many things, but one thing we could call it is a sense of shame. I can remember so clearly, you know, the shameful things, the, like, you know, you could think back at the worst moments of your life. I can remember tracks, you know, in the 70s when I got saved. They had one track, a chick track called "This Was Your Life." And in that chick track, it was like a judgment day. You were brought before God and everybody was watching the movie of your life. And I remember that would just be like terrifying, just like the thought that people would see me at my most shameful, the worst moments. I mean, when in the fifth grade, when I got into pornography, I found my first Playboy magazine. I started experimenting with smoking dope and drinking alcohol and doing the wrong things and going in the wrong places and just the dirty, filthy things that you learn to do. And I look at those moments and I go, oh my God, those are shameful, shameful things. I can think of things from my adult life. I won't tell you what they are because they're none of your business. But I can think of great moments of failures, things that I where I let my family down or let God down, and just the shame, you know, the guilt of those things. And I think we all can relate to that, whether it's lies or secret sins. By the way, there really isn't anything, there is no such a thing as a secret sin. You're never alone. I hope you understand that. God is real. Angels are real. You're never alone. Secret sins, addictions, lusts, things that I did to hurt other people, either knowingly or unknowingly. I think we can all relate to this. The problem here is not just that it offends God, which sin does, but the problem with sin is it opens a door and it begins to affect us. It's like shooting ourselves in the foot. And it starts to separate us from a sense of holiness and a sense of God's forgiveness and of prosperity in life. Samson found this out when he opened the door to Delilah. Samson's so famous for his sexual sins and his connection with ungodly people that I found this verse where I was looking at verses on torture and I was shocked. It says, Delilah put Samson to sleep on her lap. That's what sin wants to do, just kind of have you doze off, you know. Don't worry about it, you know, just relax with it. Put Samson to sleep on her lap. She called for a man to shave off his 7 braids. Samson was a Nazarite. That was his sign of consecration and holiness and love and dedication to God. They shaved it off. And look what happened. It says that they shaved the 7 braids and then she began to what? Torture him. You see, you might think that sin or that person is your friend. You might think that if you open the door, that this will complete your life. You know, this is going to be my girl. This is going to be my guy. This is going to be my new home. This is going to be my new job. I'm going to get paid. I'm going to get some money. I'm going to get what I need. I'm going to get... And so you might think that's the answer. But what happens is you bring that thing, you fall asleep, and then you lose the most important thing in your life, which is your relationship with God, your consecration to God. And then, as if that's not good enough, that thing that you opened the door to will start to torture you. It will begin to torment your heart and soul. It's not satisfied just to take your relationship from God. It wants to make you hurt. There's a cruelty. There's a cruelty to sin. There's a cruelty to the work of the enemy and a torture that sets in. We're tortured by the things that we've done and the doors that we've opened to sin. But we're also tortured, I believe, by the lies that we have trusted, the lies that we have believed. So many people believe in lies. And when you believe something that isn't true, when the enemy lies to you and says, you're no good, nobody here loves you, you don't belong with those people, there's no hope for you, there's no hope for your future, they're just trying to abuse you, they're just trying to manipulate you, and then all these lies come. What you really need is you need a good stiff drink. What you really need is you need to go down and smoke some crack. What you need to do is go get a prostitute. You need to walk away from your family and leave your home and abandon your church and your children and your wife. You need to get out of here. You believe those lies. You start to follow those things, and it affects the course of your life. My wife, Kathy, you met her earlier in the service. She was getting her nails done yesterday. She goes to this lady. She talks to her about the Lord. She's from a Buddhist background. She's Vietnamese. And this lady opened up with her a little bit and was telling her about a child that she had miscarried a child. She had said the Buddhist priest told her that the reason she miscarried is because she hadn't done enough to help the poor. And that she had brought about the miscarriage of her own child because she hadn't done enough good things. And what she really needed to do was to take 45 days and say certain prayers and do, you know, kind of religious rigmarole so that her next child would not miscarry. And Kathy said, whoa, 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 time out. She started to explain the gospel to her. Started to share life with her about Christ, about the love of God, and how God doesn't want to hold our sins against us, that God forgives us. And she's sharing the gospel with her. Pray for this nail lady. But here she is. She's believing a lie. She's believing, and it's bringing torment to her. Am I going to lose my next child? Have I done enough? How many poor people do I need to feed? If I feed 100, is that enough for me to keep my next child? What if I feed 500? Is that enough? It's just torture. It's a lie that will torment you. It will torture you. Jesus commented on this as the work of the enemy. He said, these lies come from Satan. He is a liar, and when he speaks to us, he can only lie. It's his native tongue. And you can be sure if the devil is saying something to you, it will be a lie and it will not be true. Pray for me, Pastor. The devil's telling me that God doesn't love me. Wait, time out. If the devil is telling you something, just selah, just dwell on that for a minute. The devil is telling you God doesn't love you. The devil is a liar. So you can be sure that God loves you, especially if the devil tells you that he doesn't. How many understand what I'm saying? This is just the enemy. It's not enough that the enemy wants to take your relationship with God. He does, but he wants to torture you. There's a cruelty to the enemy that cannot be explained just by a strategic move. He just wants you to feel pain. And when you open the door to him, that's where the pain and the shame comes in. I can remember a kid that it was like, you know, kids do weird things. Kids are cruel to each other. Kids are mean and awful sometimes to each other. And I can remember about in the fifth grade, I had a friend, literally his name was Dennis Mitchell. That was his name. And he was a devil. I mean, this kid was just, he was wicked. And it was like we were friends. We were together all the time. But I can remember that he was like the worst friend you could possibly have. First of all, he was a liar, but then he would torture me. He would do things just to try to torture. Why do kids hang out with other kids to torture them? I don't get it. Probably explains a few of my personality disorders to this day. But he would do that thing, and don't look at me like you never did it. He would do that thing where you get on top of another kid, and you get something going in your mouth, and it... Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. But it happened, okay? Don't feel sorry for yourself. What about feeling sorry for me? I was the kid. He would do that thing, you know, and it let it down and then pull it back up. And it's disgusting. It's torture. And yet I would continue to hang out with him. This is what so many believers do. So many of us are content to keep company with liars, to entertain spirits and lifestyles and influences that are absolutely wicked and evil, and we'll just say, well, you know, that's in my life, and I mean, you know, everyone's doing it, and I'm putting up with it, but we don't realize the damage that is taking place deep down inside of us. Why are we sitting still for abuse? Why are we sitting still for torture? Why are we allowing ourselves to be lied to? Amen. There's a wickedness and a cruelty to sin that I think we have to reckon with. This is just what the enemy wants. You're hopeless. You're a failure. Nobody loves you. He's a liar, see? And he's trying to torture you. Here's what I would say. Don't contaminate your soul by listening to lies. Don't stick around in friendship with an influence that is bent on your destruction. But Dad, I love him. Why do we sit still for some of this stuff? It's torture. And God has something better for us. And then I believe we're tortured by the things, by the grudges that we hold. I want to share this one. I want to share it sensitively. But I'm shocked. I was shocked the other day when I heard of yet another Christian. It never ceases to amaze me when I hear a testimony or a confession of another Christian who will say out of their own mouth, I will not forgive so-and-so. I refuse to forgive. Really? We're tortured when we open that door in our life. One day Peter asked the Lord a question. He thought he was going to get a gold star. Lord, how many times shall I forgive someone who has offended me in one day? Seven? Go ahead, plant it on me, Lord. Give me my star. And Jesus said, what did he say? No, not seven, but what? 70 times seven. In other words, Peter, your concept of forgiveness is way short of mine. You forgive as often as you need to, without limitation. And then he calls the disciples together. He says, all right, guys, huddle up. I want to tell you a story. And he tells them this story, and the story goes like this. There's a king who has a servant, and the servant owes the king millions of dollars. Now, this is torturing the servant's soul. He knows he can never pay it back, and he's afraid of the power of the king. The king has the power to throw this guy in jail and lock him up forever. And he can't pay, and he's terrified. So finally, he comes, and he throws himself on the ground in front of the king, and he begs for mercy. Have mercy on me. I can't pay this, but I don't want to go to jail. And the king looks at him, and he pities him. He feels bad for him. He feels sorry. So he forgives him of his debt. This is the story that Jesus is telling his disciples. Then that servant who had been forgiven of his million-dollar debt, right? He goes his way, and then he runs into somebody that owes him like $200. And he jumps on this guy and starts choking him. Pay me the money that you owe me. And the guy says, I can't pay. Then he says, then you will go to jail. And he throws him into jail. And when the king hears of all of this, he is furious. And this is where Jesus picks up the story of the grudge, and he explains this to us. The master was very angry with who? The one who wouldn't forgive his servant, right? And it says, and he delivered him to the... He delivered this grudging man to the tormentors, to the torturers, until he should pay all that was due to him. Jesus says, my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Church, this is a strong, strong message. A person who will not forgive someone the sins that they've committed against them will not find the forgiveness and mercy and pleasure of God toward them. God will catch up with you. God says, in essence, you are opening the door once again to the tormentors in your life. And your sleeplessness and your anger and your bitterness and your ulcer is hitting, is going through your body, and that torture is entering into your life because you say, I refuse to forgive. I can't forgive. Listen, if you have someone that has hurt you and you refuse to forgive them, I want to challenge you in Jesus' name. You are completely out of order. God is not pleased with that, and you are destroying your soul. And if you want your family to be whole, and you want your body to be whole, and you want your life to be right with God, you must release. You must forgive. You've got to drop it. You've got to let it go. Amen. You've got to say, you don't owe me anything for that. We're good. I don't want you to get yours. I'm not going to make you get yours. I don't want anything bad to happen to you, because after all, God has forgiven me of my millions. What is a few hundred that you have done to me? We got to release those sins. Keep a clean record. Today, some of you have a tortured soul. The way you're experiencing life is a very painful way to live. It could be because of things you've done. It could be because of lies you've believed. It may be because of grudges that you've held. And all of that has released a battle against you. And Peter would say, don't flirt with those things. Don't connect with those things. Don't allow those things to make war against your soul, because it will damage you and you will take fire. You don't have to live in the toxic environment of your own failures or your own wrong choices. Maybe you didn't mean to do all this, but this is where you are. There is an answer for you, and that's what I want to talk to us about. I want to talk to us about freedom from the tortured soul. How do we deal with this? How many would like to be free from the tortures that come on the inside of you when you're laying in bed and you can't sleep and you're wrestling and you're in agony and all is not well? You'd like to be free from that kind of torture. Let me share some things with you. First and foremost, the most important thing I can say is that confession cleanses. In fact, could we just say this out loud together? Let's read this off the board. Confession cleanses the soul and closes the door to the enemy. Now, I've taught you in this series some really powerful truths. When that first message, and we were talking about the soul that is a wandering soul, the dissatisfied soul, and I taught you about how the blood of Jesus will break that curse of the wandering soul. Always seeking, never finding. Interested in everything, satisfied by nothing. What breaks that curse, that Cain curse? It's the blood that was shed, that Jesus shed on the cross, and that curse was removed. And so the blood of Jesus becomes that mighty advantage for us. And then last week we were talking about the heavy soul, so much depression and low-grade sadness in people's lives, and I talked about the answer of praise and how potent praise is in our lives. Just as we lift our hands to God and we're grateful, that it breaks that heaviness. That's another real key. Here's the key for a tortured soul. It's confession. This is the one that will lift that torture out of you for a lifetime. It's what the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. People who conceal their sins will not, what? Prosper, but if they, what? Confess and turn from them, their sins, they will receive mercy. That's the answer, see? You try to cover up what you're doing. You try to pretend that you didn't do it. You deny it. Everybody knows you did it. And then you just still so dumb, you just say, oh, I didn't do it. I don't have that problem. You're never going to get healed, and least of all from God. But if you confess, if you're honest, if you're transparent, if you get real and say, okay, you got me, man, my bad. It's me. I'm the angry one. It's not you. I've got a problem in my life. I confess that. God, forgive me. Lord, I've been angry. I've held unforgiveness. I've been jealous. I'm trying to find fault with everybody else just to deflect. Hopefully nobody will notice what's wrong in my life, but God, it's me. I'm sick of criticizing other people. I'm the one. I'm the one that needs to change. God, forgive me. And when you do that, it closes the door. That shame can no longer enter in and torture you and torment you. And then the blood of Jesus cleanses you clean. This is the important thing I must say to you. And the word prosper in this verse is also very important. People who conceal their sins will not what? Do you know that God wants your life to prosper? He wants your life to work. I'm not talking about gold, Cadillac, diamond, bling, bling, prosperity. I'm talking about He wants your life to be as it should be. He wants there to be more than enough. He wants everything in its right place. He wants you to have an abundant, prosperous life. He wants your marriage to work. He wants your business to work. God isn't looking to make you into a failure. God wants you to win. He wants you to prosper, but you cannot prosper if you are covering your sin. Matter of fact, all of next month, I'm so excited I can't even stand it. I'm going to preach all through next month, the month of March, on the subject of teach me to prosper. We're going to go through the scripture and discover exactly what God has in mind for us in the area of prosperity. And I believe it's important that it follow this message right away. Because here we're learning how our souls can be cleansed, right? And the Bible says that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So we're fixing our soul in February, and we're going to fix the rest of our life in March. And I know you're busy, but I just want to encourage you, if at all possible, be here every Sunday in March. And if you can't be here, jump online and stay with these messages, because this is going to be the key that could literally turn your life and turn your future in a whole new direction. I really believe that. We're going to learn to prosper. And I'm saying, God, teach me to prosper. Get those things out of my life that are blocking prosperity. So here's two points that I just want to quickly make before we pray. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to pray. And I believe God is going to just undo some long-standing stuff and some unforgiveness stuff and some junky, nasty torture stuff that He wants to just cleanse and wash out of our lives. But here I want to just make a couple of quick points. First of all, concerning confession, we confess to God for forgiveness of sins. If you want to be forgiven, you don't have to go to a holy man. You go straight to God. And confession just means, Lord, I agree with You. I agree with what Your word says. Your word says that XYZ sin is wrong, and I am guilty of XYZ sin. I did it, and I confess that it is wrong. And Lord, I am making a decision today to receive grace to not repeat that mistake. Amen. I want to forsake that sin by Your grace and power, and I want to go in the right direction. That's confession. I don't want it, God. I want to please You, and this displeases You. So we agree with God. We stop saying, well, everybody's doing it. That's not a confession. You're not squaring up with anybody on that one. Well, that sounds so old-fashioned to say we can't do that. Hey, listen, if God said it, it ain't old-fashioned. If God said it, it's not outdated. He's called I Am. He's pretty up-to-date. Matter of fact, He's already got the future figured out. So don't worry about God being out of date. Don't throw Him up. Agree with Him. Don't try to catch Him on a technicality. Agree. Confess your sin. The Bible says if we do this, and if you've never seen this verse, please write this down because you're going to need it real soon. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive our sins and cleanse us, detox us from all unrighteousness. Here's your detox. Confession. Amen. Confess it to God, and He will forgive you of your sin. Now, then it's confession to people. We confess to people for healing. Isn't that interesting? We go to God for forgiveness with confession. But when we talk to our spouse, our son, our daughter, our brother in the Lord, our mentor, our spiritual leader, someone we trust in the body of Christ, we say, listen, I've got this problem in my life. I'm really struggling with X, Y, Z, and I need prayer. When we do that, it's like, well, I could never do that. I could never do that. Yes, you can. And when you do it, you're humbling yourself. And the Bible says this, when we humble, he gives grace to the humble. See, if you're trying to hide your sin, you won't prosper. But if you front yourself, if you out yourself and say, here's what's going on in my life, man, and I trust you with this. Please don't tell anybody. But I got to tell you, this is what's happening. And I need grace. And then there's prayer and there's faithfulness. Then what happens? We get healing in our life. The scripture says it very clearly. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Healed. That's the promise of God's word. You know, I want us to come back to that moment with Peter and Jesus in the upper room. Do you know why I think that was a very important moment, a prophetic moment for Peter? Because Peter would deny Jesus just a few short hours after that moment. And that was no surprise to Jesus. Jesus was a prophet. He saw exactly what was going to happen. Why would Jesus pick up a towel and begin to wash their feet? Sure, to teach them humility. Sure, to teach them how tender we must be with one another and how servant-oriented we must be. But I believe in Peter's case, he also wanted him to know, Peter, I'm the one that cleanses you. And even when you fail, Peter, I want you to know there is a cleansing available. Get this in your mind, Peter. I am washing you. And your failure of me, if you'll confess it, will not separate you from me. Somebody says, Pastor, okay, I've sinned. When I sin, do I lose my salvation? When I sin, is that it? Am I not going to heaven? When we sin as believers, we don't lose our relationship with God. We're his children. Nothing's going to change that. Nothing will separate us from his love, right? So then what's the problem with sin? The problem with sin is that we lose fellowship with him. We lose that sense of closeness. If you feel like God is a million miles away from you, you don't feel like you're really connecting with God, but you know you're saved, you got to ask yourself this question. Have you been confessing your sins to God? Have you been honest with him? Because what happens is if you're in denial and you're busy about saying, oh, I'm righteous and I'm good and I do everything. Oh, I do everything for God. I do millions of things for God. I don't have a problem. If that's where you're going, God is just like, I don't know if I can help you. I don't know if I can speak to you. I don't know if I can. We got unfinished business. But then when we confess to God, God says, now. See, if I sin against Kathy, this beautiful woman that I love, if I sin against her, I don't lose her as my wife. But I break fellowship. Now we have an issue in our marriage, right? So I have to cleanse that. I have to get that relationship back. And that's what confession of our sins to God will do. This Peter who failed so miserably, he wrote our text, our opening text, about battles in the soul. He said, stay away from sin. And it's almost like he's saying, I know about this, guys. I've been there. And then a few verses later, he says this. Christ carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would stop living for sin and start living for what is right. And you, say this with me, and you are healed because of his wounds. I love this. And then he explains this. It's almost like his testimony. You were like sheep that wandered away, but now you have come back to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. He's really, can you see this? He's saying, I too went away from the Lord. I know about a tortured soul. I was in agony. I ran in tears when I denied Jesus, but he restored me. I was like a sheep that wandered off, but I came back to the shepherd. And he says, you are like, as a backslider, you went away from God, but now you have returned to the shepherd of your soul. Your soul is no longer tortured. your soul is safe. Jesus is your answer. So if there's torture in your soul, if you're experiencing life in a very painful way, the answer is simple. Let Jesus give you a detox through confession. I want you just to bow your heads and close your eyes if you would. We're going to have just a moment here with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I just ask that, and I know you've been working all through this time together, and Holy Spirit, I honor you. You're the one that puts the mirror in front of us. You're the one that flashes the face of a person before us that we need to forgive. You're the one that grants us sorrow for our sins and the courage to be honest. Holy Spirit, move in this room right now. I pray that all of our excuses and dodgy explanations for our behavior would just be nailed to the cross right now. And that, God, we would just stand before you totally transparent and honest. I'm praying for people right now who are experiencing torture in their lives. Their marriage is tortured. Their whole experience in life has been nothing but pain. I'm praying, God, that you will close the door to shame, Lord. And that, God, you will disarm the lies of the enemy. And, Lord, you will erase the writing that's been on the wall against us because of the dumb things we did and the choices that we make. Lord, wash us and cleanse us, I pray. And, Lord, instead of torture, let there be joy and hope, Lord. Lord, I pray that life would begin to bubble up in the place of pain, Lord God, that our joy would overtake our sorrow, Lord God. I pray that you would turn our mourning into dancing today, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, through the power of the blood of Jesus. Now, if you would, I just want to give you time alone with God, just while your head is bowed and your eyes are closed. I don't want you to miss this moment. Would you just take 30 seconds and just right where you are, just give your life to Christ. And if there's someone that you need to forgive, would you bring that to the Lord right now? Thank you. Holy Spirit, come, Lord. Breathe on us, Lord. Change us, Lord. Father, we forgive right now. And we receive forgiveness, Lord. Wash the shame. Pick us up, Lord. We close that door. We confess every sin. Cleansing now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you just stand with me? And if you could, would you just lift your hands to the Lord? Just welcome the Holy Spirit into your heart and into your life. It's not enough to have sin removed. It's not enough just to get it out, but you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that your mighty Holy Spirit would just fill us, Lord, this morning to overflowing, and that, God, the very soul that's been so damaged and tortured would now become a song of praise before you, Lord, that we would lift up worship, Lord, and as we do, we would be filled with new life. Church, I want you to sing this song. Nicole and Dave are going to lead us. Let's sing about lifting our soul to the Lord and rejoice in his presence. This is your song.
Worship his holy name.
This is coming from your soul.
Let me be singing when the evening.
Make sure that your life is right. Maybe you need healing in your body. Something worked through this message in your life. Our prayer teams are here to talk to you. But right where you are, you can get about 90% of it done right between you and God. If you've never received Christ, you can pray this prayer. Maybe you're a backslider. You didn't mean to backslide. You didn't wake up one day and say, I think I'll walk away from God, but it just happened. You're just not as close to God as you used to be. You say this prayer and watch how God will draw you back into His goodness and His presence. Let's all say this prayer together. Father God, thank you for loving me. Come on, pray it. And offering me true life. Lately, I've been feeling so tortured inside, but today I confess all my sins to you. I confess that Jesus, say that part one more time. I confess that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Thank God, my soul is clean and the door is closed to the enemy in Christ's name. Now give the Lord a shout. Amen. Amen. Lord, we praise you. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Sing it again. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Could be together for these moments today. This is so important. And I believe what's happened in this room today for you, you get to keep all through this week. Stay in that joy, stay in that forgiveness, stay in the love of God, and be blessed. I love each and every one of you. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, you can come and join us here at the front. If you are a musician, you may join a worship singer, a drummer, if you play a kazoo, if you know how to run sound. Join Nicole and I in room 201 to my left and your right. There's a sign in the hallway. Join us for a few minutes. It won't be long. God bless you. And Dave and Esther Bingle and some of the pastors. Pastors, can we meet here with the Bingles? We want to pray a blessing over their lives as well. God bless you, everyone.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.